If you're one of America's 65 million Mario-loving maniacs, you know the lingo. If not, you may be asking yourself, what are they talking about? They're talking strategy. They're talking warp zones. They're talking Nintendo, a video game phenomenon that's still going strong.
What's up and welcome to NExpress, PopOptic.com's Nintendo show. I am your host, Tim Mason, and with me is Aaron Santos, back from the dead.
Hello. What's up?
And Ricky D.
Hello, everybody.
As well as special guest, Patrick Murphy.
Whoa, wait.
Yeah, I'm not just special guest anymore, right?
What?
From what I understood the last episode, because even though I wasn't there, I was listening to you guys. He's a sub-host.
So you got demoted a week after you got promoted.
Oh, okay. Man.
Well, he's still sub-host. He's still got his honorary role. Okay. I thought special sounded better, you know, like special agent. Sub sounds like lesser.
Sounds like a substitute teacher.
I thought we were calling him Captain Toad.
I'm okay with like, fine. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Wait a minute. If he's Toad, that means one of us is Mario, one of us is Luigi, and one of us is Peach.
Well, yeah, of course I'm Luigi.
Mario.
Wait,
Aaron.
Wait,
not Mario. I'll go Yoshi.
Wait, we can't talk to Aaron. He's in another castle right now.
Wait, can I be Wario? I'll dig Wario.
You guys, I think this is an all-time record for quickest derailed podcast ever.
All right, so this is it. It's the end of the month, and we are going to be ending our Super Mario Marathon, and I'm kind of excited, kind of nervous, because we're going to have to choose our favorite Mario platformer.
It's too hard.
Mm-hmm.
I already gave up. Just kidding.
So that'll be in our main event.
Yeah. So the challenge was to pick a favorite and pick the best one as well. So stand by for some tense moments. And I don't think anyone's going to get mad, honestly, because all these games are so good. We've already proven, like, these games are the best. But choosing for yourself your favorite is so hard.
Well, except unless Aaron picks like Super Mario Sunshine.
Yeah, I was gonna say that unless someone I wasn't gonna imply myself, but unless someone took Super Mario Sunshine, then yeah.
Oh no, it's okay. I'm okay with implying that you will pick it.
Yeah, based on the conversation we all had, I'm not sure that any one of us is going to pick Super Mario Sunshine, but we'll see.
But first, we have to talk about something else
because we have yet to even get to Super Mario 3D World. Woo! So we're going to start our Nintendo Switch with a discussion of Super Mario 3D World, one of the best titles on Wii U. Hands down, one of the best titles.
Yep.
Best?
One of the best games.
What do you guys think?
I would be okay with calling it the best title on the Wii U. I'm not entirely sure if I think it's the best title on the Wii U, but I wouldn't have a problem if someone called it the best title on the Wii U. I think this game's amazing. The reason why I think it's a contender for best Mario platformer as well as my favorite game is because of the multiplayer. I absolutely adore this game because I played the game from start to finish with my nephews and at times with my niece and a few more people who would come in and out of my house. I love the fact that you can play multiplayer up to four players. I love the fact that the controls are so smooth. And I love the double cherry. And yes. I think the double cherry is why this game is amazing, because with each and every single new Mario game on every console, except for maybe like Sunshine, you think to yourself, like, why haven't they done this before? Why hasn't anyone done this before?
I like that you have mentioned the cat suit, like front and center of this game.
Yeah, well, okay, the thing about the cat suit is I like the cat suit. I think it's awesome and dope, and it's also one of the things that they throw into this game that makes me think, why didn't they do this in the past? The problem with the cat suit is it makes the game a little too easy because you do become invincible. But apart from the cat suit, there's tons of power-ups, like the double cherry. There's the handheld piranha plant. There's the cannon box, which you carry around with you. Or actually, you kind of sort of turn into a cannon box, which is really cool. It's also kind of really annoying. It makes the game actually harder. There is the rideable giant ice skate. There's the Goomba mask. There's the propeller box. There's, of course, the giant mushroom, which I love, by the way. The Tanuki leaf, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's so many power-ups. I think the only thing this game is missing is some awesome boss battles, which Mario Galaxy 1 and 2 have.
Yeah,
I would totally agree. The boss battles are a weakness for this game.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm a little bit on the iffy side when you guys start saying, like, best, like, it's a good solid Mario title, but, like, in terms of, like, boss battles and stuff, it's, like, it's not the best out there.
I'm thinking about how much fun I had playing this game. Like, when I finished the game, I was actually sad. My nephew and I finished the game, which took forever, by the way. And I love when you get to the very last stage, Mario's like, it's about time. Because every time you think you finished a game, a new map opens up. When the game was over, I was actually like really upset. I'm like, I love playing the game so much, and I love playing with my nephews, that I was like, now what am I going to play? Like, even if I go back and play the rest of the Mario games, which I did, because that's what I've been doing for the whole entire summer, so we can do this whole Mario marathon. It still wasn't the same because I wasn't playing alongside someone. I was playing by myself.
You see, I like this game single player. This is I was been playing this over the weekend, and man, I love this game. It's so addictive. I love the way it's set up. I love the sheer variety of worlds in this. This the sheer variety of challenges they throw at you. I was starting to think, like, this is one of my favorite Mario games of all time. I'm not saying it's going to take the top, because it's not, but it's really up there. It's definitely in the top five, maybe in the top three, just because of how much fun I have playing this game. I was super addicted. It makes me just want to go back and get all the green stars and stamps all over again.
Yeah, and like last week we were talking about Mario Galaxy 2, and one of the things I love about that game is the fact that you can actually play with Luigi at one point, like about halfway through the game. Mm-hmm. And in this game, you can play with Luigi, Peach, Toad, or Super Mario right from the start. And each and every single time, you can change the character you're playing with. You can you can actually leave a level midway through the level and change the character. If someone wants to play, they don't have to wait till you finish the level. They could just jump in and play midway through the level.
Yeah, and they all have their different – they're like Super Mario 2 powers. You know?
Yeah, they all control differently.
Yeah.
You know what I think is best about this game, though?
The music?
No. The music's brilliant. Like, it's great music. I think the best part is that it's a perfect combination of classic platforming Mario meets 3D Mario games. Mm-hmm. Like, those two things fused together, and it worked way better than I would ever have expected.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did any of you guys play Super Mario 3D Land for the 3DS?
Yeah.
It's similar to that game.
But it's not a sequel to Super Mario 3D Land, and it's not a sequel to Super Mario Galaxy 2. It's its own game. It's its own individual self. But it takes elements from both of these games and several more games. Like, it's like every Mario game crammed into one. Like, you don't get everything, but you get a bit of everything.
You know, the weird thing is when I first started playing it, I just got flashbacks to 3D Land, a game which I liked a lot. But I thought, okay, well, this is kind of just similar to that, but HD graphics. The more you play it, though, the more you see that, like, they saved their best stuff for 3D World. The Wii U could do things that the 3DS could not do. They had the way better powers. Everything about the game was so much more polished than even the really good Super Mario 3D Land. It doesn't feel like it. It didn't, after like maybe the first couple of stages, it didn't feel like it to me anymore. Like those two games, you're right, Ricky. They're different. They feel different.
Well, the funny thing is they call it 3D World, but it's not really in stereoscopic, whatchamacallit. I'm not sure what the terminology is. So it's not really like 3D, right? So, but the thing about this game, though, is it runs in 60 frames per second. The visuals are amazing. The graphics are incredible. And like I said, the controls are so smooth. It's so easy to control each and every single one of these characters. And as expected, each character has something about them that they can do better than everyone else, right? Like, I think, for example, Toad is faster than Mario, Luigi, and Peach. And I should also mention you can unlock Rosalina. So you can play with Rosalina at one point, which is awesome.
Yeah, when you beat Bowser for the first time, I believe that's when you get Rosalina.
It's when you get to the Galaxy World stage, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
But the only thing missing in this game, I mean, there's a lot of things missing, but the one thing missing, like crucial, is Yoshi.
Yeah, he is missing in this game. You do get the dinosaur.
But yeah. I never felt like I needed him to belong there, though, because there's so many power ups and so many abilities in that game. Like, I didn't feel like, you know, he was missing.
Well, no, but we get Toad, we get Peach, and we even get Rosalina.
Yeah.
You know, Mario and Luigi are given, but we don't get Yoshi. I mean, I would argue Yoshi's more popular than Captain Toad and Peach and Rosalina. And Yoshi, we've actually played with this character in previous Mario platformers. Mm-hmm. And there is a character in his game who sort of replaces Yoshi, only he's not as cool as Yoshi. So I was like, why didn't you just give us Yoshi?
They're kind of going for like the Super Mario 2 classic characters to choose from.
Yeah.
I honestly think they should go back and make a sequel for this game or an expansion and let people play as Yoshi and have him be able to gulp stuff up, because that'd be an interesting mechanic to throw in there. But I don't know if they'd go with like the ride Yoshi instead.
They should release a sequel to Super Mario 3D World. And and also, I also like the fact that this game has Captain Toad puzzle stages. And of course, Captain Toad had his own game later on, which is actually a really good game, by the way. It's an amazing game. Yep. And I love the mystery boxes. You know, when you have like the 10-second challenges?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are awesome. I love the 10-second challenges.
And it kind of brings back some of those Super Mario 3, you know, the roadblocks. Like you've got the, you know, the football guy. What is it? The football Koopa guy blocking your path and you have to beat him, or you have to beat a Magic Koopa or something like that. I like the world map. God, the textures in this game are just so good. Everything visually in this game is just popping off the screen. Some of the, one of the most vivid games I think I've ever played.
I honestly think that it has the best soundtrack of any Mario.
Man, that's such a hard choice to make. I can't say that in good faith, but it's really good.
It's because it blends revisited melodies and retro classics and has a bunch of new tracks. And I just love the opening tune. Like, as soon as you turn the game on, I love the theme song. Mm-hmm. It took me, I think, almost a year to finish the game. I did not collect every stamp.
It gets hard at the end, and I can tell you, I have not beaten every level in this game.
That's because you're not playing multiplayer, Patrick. Oh. You need to play multiplayer towards the end. There's one specific level, I forget which level it is, but I swear to God, I couldn't do it by myself. I needed someone to play with me. And the interesting thing is, in that level, it makes it easier, because when you play with two or three people, you can get... You can actually defeat the level. But in almost every level, it makes it harder when you play multiplayer, because you have to rely on your partner to not screw up. And so you have to coordinate. And I also love the fact that when you finish the level, it's not really that's a competition, but it kind of can be a competition, because it keeps track of who has the highest score.
Yeah.
And you get crowned. That's always cool.
That's right. I mean, I think multiplayer, if the person you're playing with isn't a pretty skilled Mario player, you're going to destroy your lives count. I mean, it'll just get eaten alive. That's what happened to me. I invited some friends over when I first got this game, and I think I had 90-some lives built up. And by the end of our play session, I had about 50, and we did not play that long. It was brutal, man.
But it's pretty generous with lives, so that you can play with multiple people.
Yeah.
Yeah, not those people. It's not that generous.
Yeah.
I had to work a little while to get my lives built back up again, so I felt safe about the rest of the game.
I guess the last thing I have to say about this game is I think this is a game that caters to beginners and veterans. You know, if you want a challenge, then you can play this game and try to get all 250 green stars and finish each and every single level and so on and so forth. But you can also just play as a beginner and still enjoy the game. The only thing is, I don't think you can make it to the very last stage unless you collect a certain amount of green stars. And it's a hell of a lot. It's like 240 or something. I can't remember what it is, but I know I had like 248 green stars and I still finished the game.
Yeah, you do end up, you get a lot of green stars in here. When I replayed it over the weekend, I think I got about 70 stars, and I got them really, really quick. I mean, you can breeze through those first three worlds pretty fast and all the stages in them. If you know, and I played the game enough where I kind of remember.
And there's some bonus stages that are very generous in giving green stars.
Yeah, those toad stages and the mystery block ones. They give out big chunks if you can do those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. I don't think any one of us would disagree that this game is phenomenal. It's a huge selling point for the Wii U, and it's some single-player and multiplayer fun. So why don't we go ahead and end our discussion there? We're going to take a break and be right back for our main event. Stay tuned.
It's just like a culture. You know, again, Nintendo revitalized the video game industry, and once that started, it was like a snowball effect. There was just no stopping it. We'll be right back.
welcome back to NXpress, where we are at our main event, concluding our Mario month. I should not say Mario month. Our Mario marathon. We are going to now finally select our favorite Mario game and the best Mario game. So we're going to go ahead and go around in round robin fashion, starting with our special mention, which is an opportunity for all of us to select a game that is maybe our favorite, but we don't think it's the best, or one that we have a very particular attachment to, so we just can't let it go unmentioned. That's what we're going to get out of the way with our special mentions. Then we're going to go around once more listing what we think is the best Mario game ever made, which is really saying something. So we're going to go ahead and start with the sub-host, Patrick Murphy. Are you ready?
Oh, man, I'm so lucky that I get to go first. That means I could probably destroy somebody else's picks. all right, my special mention is going to be Super Mario Galaxy. It's very close to me to being the best Mario game ever, and a little hint, I think it's the best 3D Mario game ever. But I don't think a 3D Mario game has surpassed the original Super Mario Galaxy yet. The original, I say again. Super Mario Galaxy 1. Yeah, I love this game. It blew my mind when it first came out. We talked about that, you know, on the last podcast. And I've just never I still love playing it to this day. I still make a point to play it every once in a while because I just think it was one of the greatest, most glorious celebrations of Mario platforming of all time.
I'm really curious to hear what's your best now.
Yeah. That's the thing about this. It's going to get tricky. All right.
Yeah, I know.
Aaron, how about you?
Okay, so my special mention would have to be... I'm going to go off and say... Man, Mario 64? I'm gonna go with Mario 64 because it's something that I played growing up as a kid. I mean, it holds a special place, and we all know how Super Mario 64 also like revolutionized games. So I think those are one thing to mention out of it. But like we mentioned, special mention is all about how we hold dear to it, and it's just, like I said, something that I played growing up, and it made me the gamer that I am today. So
for mine, I am going to already just copy someone, which is a shame, but I am going to say Super Mario Galaxy. I love the first Super Mario Galaxy. Last week, I was like super defending the second one just to be argumentative, and because I think a lot of people are right in saying that it might be a more fun game, but I think that when you first start playing Super Mario Galaxy, like that opening sequence, it's kind of mind-blowing. It's unlike any other Mario game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're clearly trying to give more of a story. You can, like, go read Rosalina's story if you want to, and it's just plain smooth and fun to play. So all those things, I think, make an absolute brilliant game, but I just don't quite think it was the best one, and my absolute favorite game is the one that I think is the best one, so I will save that for later. Ricky?
So what we know is that Patrick and Tim will not be picking Super Mario Galaxy as their favorite, but Aaron and I might. But Aaron's not picking Super Mario 64 as his favorite, but you and Patrick might.
It's possible.
Ooh.
Yeah, like, what is the best Mario? No one knows yet.
So my special mention is Super Mario World 2 Yoshi's Island. And I think it's because Nintendo took a radical step with this game, opting for a prequel, not a sequel, and a completely different style of gameplay. And I think it was a really ballsy move on the part of Nintendo. They take Mario, their mascot, and they sort of put him to the side, and you get to play as Yoshi instead. But I think this game is a prime example of Nintendo's constant strive for perfecting video game design. I've said this before many, many times on the podcast. What I love about Nintendo is how they are always willing to try something new, and they do take risks. And this is a prime example. And I think it's a really important game for Nintendo because it proved that Nintendo can make games away from the typical formula and still come out with a success, because this game came out at the very end of the Super NES days, right before they were moving on to the next console. It still sold well, and it was critically acclaimed. And some people think it's one of the greatest games of all time, like on a top 100 list of all time, no matter what console, no matter what genre. So I think this game deserves a special mention. I absolutely love it. I think it's one of the best-looking games on the Super NES. And, you know, when we talk about boss battles, I think Yoshi's Island has the best bosses and the best boss battles. So because of the boss battles, because of the visuals, it has a slight edge over many of the Mario games that I could choose as my special mention. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead with Yoshi's Island and give a big shout-out to Bert the Bashful, Piranha, Roger the Potted Ghost, and Sluggy. And Unshaped. Unshaped, too, man. Love those bosses.
I was just, like, waiting. I was like, is he going through all of them? Oh, God, he really is.
I'll agree with you. Yoshi's Island has the best boss battles in all of Mario games, probably. They're the most inventive and just all-around excellence is there.
And as we all know, when we did our special on ranking the best Nintendo consoles, I was the one who was defending Super NES and saying the Super NES was the best console, and I think that this is one of the greatest games on the greatest console.
And you were right to defend it as so, because that is the correct choice as the best console of all time.
Thank you.
I think you are making, I think you guys are like misspeaking. N64 is what you mean to say. It's okay. We'll move on. We'll get back to that later. Why don't we go ahead and now, moment of truth. Patrick Murphy, what do you think is the best Mario game ever made?
All right, so the best Mario game, I think the best Mario game ever made, and the game that I said that was my favorite game of all time when you guys asked me my original five questions way, way back on my very first guest appearance here, is Super Mario World. I think that is the greatest Mario game of all time and is my favorite game, period, of all time, I would say. Wow. Could be. It's in the running. I mean, there's always several things that that could be up there. But it is, for me, definitely the best Mario game of all time. I think it's just the first time I popped that cartridge into the Super Nintendo, that was when I realized how great, how video games could really, really just capture my imagination. That it controlled flawlessly. I love playing it to this day. In fact, when I play Mario Maker, I love playing the people who make Super Mario World levels. I think I can still control those so much better. There's something about the way that game worked that just stuck with me, fits with me. I think it's precision to a T. I think it introduces to Yoshi, which is one of the biggest Mario power-ups, most impactful Mario power-ups that's ever happened.
I don't think you can call him a power-up anymore. He's just a character.
He's a character, but he was a power-up at the time, and it was one of the most colorful, bright, you know, games that I'd ever seen before. It was the perfect introduction to what the Super Nintendo was capable of. I loved their use of Mode 7 in it. I loved the little cutscenes. It was the first time we started to see humor in the Mario world, like real humor. I think the level design is fantastic. There are so many different ways that you can beat a level. There's so many different hidden areas. The world is great. There's so many routes that you can take to get to Bowser. I think it's the best Mario game of all time. It took everything about Super Mario 3 for me and just amplified it.
All right. I'm not even going to argue. Well, I might, but later. Aaron, what is your favorite Mario game?
Okay, so I think the best Mario game would have to be Super Mario Galaxy. I'm sorry, guys.
All right. Hey, I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah, but, I mean, you want to talk about boss battles? I mean, some of the boss fights in Super Mario Galaxy were probably like some of the most creative I have played. And the scope and the sense of just the whole game, it was just incredible. I mean, like, never would I have ever thought, like, Super Mario in space. I mean, it introduced like so many new mechanics to Mario, and I have to commend it for it, because it's just, it was an amazing experience. Everything was flawless. I think the last time I was on the podcast, like I mentioned a bit about the camera, but it's not so much of a big deal. The story, the music, I mean, just everything about it to me was just absolutely great. And I think Super Mario Galaxy is probably one of the best ones.
Yeah, maybe one of the best games ever made, period. Such a good game. I am going to go ahead and say, do you guys remember what a big deal it was when Super Mario 3D Land came out? And they were like, guess what's back? The Tanuki suit. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And that wouldn't be the case without Super Mario Bros. 3, which is, I think, the best Mario game ever made. And I think it changed Mario forever. Now, think about the jump between... I almost consider it Super Mario Bros. And Super Mario Bros. 3, because Super Mario Bros. 2 was a weird thing. Like, everyone knows it. Kind of like not main series, but it is main series, but it's just kind of its own animal. So there's this jump. The sequel that we always expected and wanted was Super Mario Bros. 3. And I think it defied expectation with this game. I think that for the first time, we saw Mario really get these unique powers beyond the obvious, like shooting fireballs. Like, that's cool, but kind of obvious, right?
Mm-hmm.
But gets a leaf and turns into a tanuki. Like, that makes no sense whatsoever. But wait, the tanuki can fly? Makes no sense whatsoever. And I think it's like this culmination of all this crazy artistic, like, nonsense that the first Mario game is on a whole new level, and it's really, really, like, aesthetically pleasing. I think that time period was just gorgeous. I love the way this game looks. I love the soundtrack. Like, besides the main Super Mario theme, I think the world theme is one of the Mario themes that comes to my head faster than any other, honestly. Like, it's always right there in my head. And I think that this game also just added such a great multiplayer element in that you could both kind of like challenge each other. And as soon as one of you failed, the other one started. And it was just such a fun experience. And I think that the reveal in the wizard just adds to its majesty. This game is the best. I love it.
It's certainly up there.
Yeah. Now I've got to argue with you, Patrick, though. I think Super Mario World is so good. But I think it's just, like, the better-looking Super Mario 3. So that's why I always give it to Super Mario 3. Oh, like, the cape, really? Like, the Tanuki, forever. Always the Tanuki.
No, the cape gives you so... Oh, there's so much more you can do with the cape. You know, if you're having problems with the world, you could really coast through with that cape.
There's more you can do with a Super NES, so it makes sense, right? Yeah, that's all I'll say about that. I love Super Mario Bros. 3. It'll always be one of my earliest gaming memories playing with my brothers. And I still remember learning to fly for the first time in that game. And it has forever changed my perspective on Mario and video games. So I think it's the best one. Ricky.
Okay, well, only one of you can be right, Tim.
Oh, no.
And it's not Aaron. And it's not Patrick. It is you. You are right.
Yes!
Super Mario Bros. 3 is a timeless masterpiece full of innovation surprises and will forever stand the test of time and be the best Super Mario game forever and ever and ever. Super Mario World, Super Mario World 2, Super Mario Galaxy, Super Mario 64, they're all masterpieces. I would give each and every single one of these games a 10 on 10. But here's the thing, okay? When you make a great game, you focus on that game, you can make a great game. But if you want to make a great franchise, you have to make a great sequel first. And it's kind of tricky because the thing is, you know how fans are, right? If you mess around with the original, they get mad. If you do the same thing, it's the same thing and they get bored. So Super Mario 2 was sort of like a disaster. I like the game. A lot of people hate it.
And it was. I'm so surprised you like that game.
I like it.
It's fine. Yeah, I never had a problem with it. I liked it as a kid. It's okay.
Technically, it's not even really the original sequel, right? It wasn't.
No, it was never supposed to be.
It was another game altogether in Japan.
Yes.
But even if you look at the original sequel that was released only in Japan, that in itself is exactly like the first game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, Super Mario Bros. 3 is what made the Super Mario franchise what it is today. Like the first game, you know, it could have been like the first, say, Pac-Man game, but then Pac-Man never really evolved. So everyone, when we think of Pac-Man, we always go back to the very first game, right? That's the classic. That's the one we put in the Hall of Fame. Can you think of a sequel that you would put in the Hall of Fame?
Ms. as
a
Pac-Man. Franchise?
It's the only thing that comes into head.
You get what I'm trying to say here, yeah. Okay? So Nintendo promised and they delivered the best 2D platformer of all time, hands down, period. This game is critically acclaimed for a reason. I don't think there's a fault in this game, and I talked about this in previous episodes. When it comes to perfection, there's very few games that are perfect. This is a game that is perfect for what it was at the time, for the technology that they had, for an 8-bit system. I don't think they could have done more. Think of it like a house. So in this house, they basically crammed the house with as much furniture as they possibly could. So you still have room to move around comfortably and have fun and enjoy yourself. In Super Mario World, they had a lot more room and they used a lot of it, but it wasn't as much of a jump, in my opinion. And Tim, you're right. When you talk about the power-ups, this game is all about the power-ups. Like Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island might be about the bosses, but this game is all about the power-ups. The Tanuki suit, Raccoon Mario, the hammer suit, the frog suit. I love frogs. You know why I love the frog suit? Because underwater levels are usually boring, but not when you have a frog suit. Mm-hmm. When you have a frog suit, the underwater levels are actually a ton of fun. This game, I still think, is one of the toughest to beat. Even compared to Mario 64, this game is a lot tougher to beat than Mario 64. What makes Mario 64 tough to beat is the goddamn camera system, right?
Yeah.
This game is just tough to beat, period. It's not because of a flaw. It's tough to beat because it's made tough to beat. It's because there's so much to it. There's so many levels, and it gets progressively harder, which is what I love about it. It doesn't start off super hard. It doesn't become super hard in the middle of the game. It progressively becomes super hard. When you get to the final level, that's when it's super tough.
It's
like,
brutal.
Holy shit.
It's a gauntlet.
To this day, I still have problems beating those last levels.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have the shoe, right? Which I'm so glad they included in Super Mario Maker. But yeah, I love this game. I absolutely think the music in this game is amazing by Koji Kondo. I think in terms of like the best original soundtrack, it goes to this game because this game isn't recycling older tunes. Like it has like a few tunes from the original game, but it has a ton of new music. And I think it is the best game of the 8-bit generation. And the marketing behind this game, the fact that they actually included it into the movie The Wizard, the commercial that we always talk about, in which everyone's screaming his name, Mario, Mario, and the camera pans and zooms out and you see the planet Earth and everyone's screaming Mario's name. Everything about this game is just absolutely mind-blowing. And there's a reason why it's like one of the, you know, number one selling games of all time. I think it's made over like $500 million in revenue since it was originally released. Like it's insane. It's such a great game.
So, yeah, I can't argue with anything that you're saying. You know, it just comes down. I think the difference between 3 and World is it's just a personal preference thing. They're both so incredibly good. And I love playing 3 too, and everything about it just fits like a glove. In the end, there's something about World that just has captured me a little bit more. And that's all. And I'm just saying it's just a little bit more.
You know, the thing is, I remember when I was a kid, and back then, you know, I still had my NES and my Super NES. I was still playing Super Mario Bros. 3 when Super Mario World was released. Like, I still went back and played that game over and over and over.
Wow. Yeah, no, I dropped it like a rock.
No.
I was a Mario World guy, and I have been ever since. Yoshi, people.
But the thing is, every single game that we've mentioned, I would give a 10 on 10.
Yeah.
And that is the tricky part. Like, trying to decide what your best game is when you have at least six of these games in front of you out of like what 14 platformers that they've released that I would give a 10 on 10 score to.
Yep.
You know, I think the only game that was and still is disappointing is Sunshine.
That's right. We haven't talked much about the new Super Mario Brothers franchise because they're also just sort of, I mean, they're good, but that's all they are is I think they're good. None of them are classics, I don't think, in any way.
Well,
yeah,
it kind of revisits the old Mario games anyway.
In a way, and they're fun in their own right.
Oh, they're fine,
but they're not outstanding in any way. I don't think so. And Super Mario Sunshine falls in amongst that.
Yeah, but it's amazing that it's amazing how we did this Super Mario marathon, and it's awesome to see also like sort of nitpick the evolution that Mario went through during the decades, and then I thought it was a great journey.
Yeah, well, it was tough not picking 64 because, like, I just played 64 and finished it recently for our marathon. And I think it's an incredible game, but I just can't get over the camera, the flawed camera. The key word here is flawed. And the fact that you have to play these levels over and over again, you don't have to do that in the earlier games. Mm-hmm. Each and every single time you step into a new level, it's fresh. It's a new level.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing with Super Mario 64, and I think it's the problem with a lot of the N64 games, like it's a product of its time.
Yeah. You know, 64 is revolutionary, and it will always have been. It'll always be revolutionary, but that doesn't mean that it's going to end up being the best iteration of that. Like, I think Galaxy does 3 Mario as good as anybody could. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, 64 is the one that broke the mold. It's the one that came out first. Yeah. But they can make that better, and they did.
And the thing about Galaxy is when you do play the levels over again, the levels completely change. Mm-hmm. There's new routes to take. There's new things to do. And I think Mario Galaxy 1 is a great puzzle game, as is Mario 64. But I think Mario Galaxy is just overall a lot more fun to play. It's a bigger game. The visuals are beautiful. The controls are slick. So it was like taking the 64 formula and just perfecting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then some. It looks so good.
Tanuki Suit Forever.
Yeah, Tanuki Suit Forever.
Yeah, Mario's always had a way of changing the gameplay or changing your expectations about what the gameplay in a Mario game would be. They constantly innovate in that department, and they just screw with your brain. You know it's going to be Mario, so you know that certain things are going to be familiar, but they always find a way to make it seem so incredibly fresh. It's mind-boggling how Nintendo
That's why I love arguing with people that, like, Mario is just a recycled franchise over and over and
so
over again. I'm like, you're the dumbest
that.
Individual I've ever talked to. Like, there's no argument for that at all.
No.
It's crazy.
Yeah, you look at the Mario franchise, and like, there's never a moment where you're like, oh, great, another Mario game.
All right, so there you have it. I think it's all good picks. Thank God none of these pick Sunshine.
Yeah. So now you all just have to stick around and listen to our post-game content, where we are going to each induct some games into the Hall of Fame that we have talked about on N-Express. Will it be some of these games? I don't know. Wait and find out.
As if 400 games aren't enough to keep Nintendo on the top of the heap, there's a monthly magazine with game-winning tips, a Game Boy you can play anywhere, and a telephone hotline that started out with 4 game counselors back in 1986. Today, 200 game counselors based in Redmond, Washington, field questions from players all over the United States, Europe, and Canada.
Try to be best, cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around, nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around, and nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
Welcome back to N-Express, where we are at our post-game content, our induction ceremony, where each of us are going to induct 3 games into the Hall of Fame. What they will be, no one knows. We have yet to disclose any of this information yet, so it should be a lot of fun. We're going to start by telling you the 3 games that are in our Hall of Fame so far. So far, we have Donkey Kong, we have Pac-Man, and we have Super Mario Bros. 3, because it is the best Mario game.
Amazing.
Yeah. But we're going to start with Patrick, so let's go ahead and see if he changes that already. Patrick, what do you want to induct into the Hall of Fame?
I'm not even going to let another minute go by. I am putting Super Mario World into the Hall of Fame, the N-Express Hall of Fame. That's happening right now.
Now, we should make it clear to our listeners that the only way a game can be nominated and actually put into our Hall of Fame is we would have had to have discussed a game in the past on our podcast. So we're looking at games we've discussed in the first 24 episodes of our show. And we're going to be doing this every 25 episodes.
So, longtime listeners, here you are. This is for you.
So, go back and listen to our full review of the game, because we did do a whole entire special on the game.
Yep. And this game is amazing. I totally agree that it should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm just giving Patrick crap because it's fun.
I'm just gritting my teeth. That's all. Every time that Super Mario 3 is picked up, Super Mario World, that's all.
Awesome. So we have one new game in the Hall of Fame. Let's go to Aaron now.
Galaxy?
There it is.
Sorry, there it is. I
like that. Mario is just like all over the place now. All of us just have Mario on the brain.
Wait, what did you say?
Galaxy?
Oh. Okay.
Oh, did someone hear Sunshine?
No.
I almost said it too, just to poke fun at you guys. I was like, Sunshine?
Okay.
Awesome. So I'm going to stay true to my roots. And a long time ago, we had a show where we debated the best Nintendo games. And I made a move that I got a lot of crap for by switching Resident Evil with Pokemon. And here I'm going to induct Pokemon Red and Blue into our Hall of Fame because that's who I am. And that game is the very best, like no one ever was.
Oh my god, that was like the best show. If you haven't listened to that episode, mm-hmm. listen to that episode because it was amazing.
So funny. It's so good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it can't just be all Super Mario in the Hall of Fame. So I'm going to nominate, and it shouldn't be a big surprise to any of our longtime listeners, I am going to put in Earthbound into the Hall of Fame because it is one of my favorite games of all time. And we did like a 45, 50-minute discussion on the game. Yeah. I think it was like on episode 10. And I think it's still our best review yet. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was the most in-depth review.
Yeah, like crazy in-depth, like hyper-analyzing a video game like you've never seen before.
If any game deserves that analyzing, it is Earthbound.
True. That's just like sitting there waiting for it.
I knew Ricky would say it, otherwise there's no question I was going to put that in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I only recently played it. I never played it as a kid, just recently. Man, that game is good.
Awesome. Patrick, you are back up. What is your second game?
All right, so my second game is going to be a game that we talked about pretty much the whole series of, but I'm going to put in this particular one because I finally beat it, and I think it's an amazing game, and that is Mega Man X. Of all the Mega Mans, it is my favorite. I love the other Mega Mans. I think they're great, but I think X is... I'm going with the Super Nintendo theme, just like World Beats 3. Mega Man X beats Mega Man 2 in my mind.
Wow. See, now we did a whole Mega Man special back when it was Mega Man month in May, and that was also a great show. I think I picked Mega Man 2, but yeah, great pick.
Awesome. Aaron, how about you? Second game.
I'm going to have to induct Mario 64, just because I know we criticize it a lot, but just because of how much it changed the face of video gaming, that's why I would put Mario 64 in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that I mean I wouldn't be surprised. It's still influencing games, so don't be too shocked when the next like Dark Souls comes out and there's a Mario 64 camera mode that makes it even more challenging. Like, natural progression right there.
The game is already a nightmare, and the last thing we need is horrible camera controls.
Don't be surprised if I don't place Mario 64 near our security cameras.
Awesome. So I'm going to pick a game that is very near and dear to me, and one that we talk about every time we talk about the GameCube, but we haven't done a full review of yet. And you have to stay tuned till next month where we're definitely talking about it because it is the month of October. And I am, of course, talking about Luigi's Mansion.
Oh.
The sweetheart of the GameCube. Like, it's between that and Animal Crossing for the best game on GameCube. Like, in terms of original, I feel like it's not fair being like, oh, Smash Bros. Or Zelda because those are sequels. It's like a natural progression. I feel like the GameCube gave us a lot of really, really new, unique games. And this game in particular, I think, is absolutely brilliant. It's a ton of fun. I think it deserves Hall of Fame.
Hmm. That's the dark horse right there.
Yeah, literally. Like the dark horse. Yeah, I don't know if anyone saw that coming, so I had to get it out.
Not at all. But it's a great game.
Wow, this is going to be tough. I've only got two picks left. I'm going to choose Mega Man 2. Because I think it is the best Mega Man game. I love Mega Man X, but Mega Man 2 is a slight edge over Mega Man X. And so Mega Man 2 goes into the Hall of Fame, one of my five favorite video games of all time.
Nice. It is a really fun game. I mean, Mega Man 2 is like NES, action platformer perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, final round. Patrick, what is your final induction for the 25th episode of NXPress?
All right, so I loved this game also when I was a kid, played the hell out of it because it had several different endings and I needed to see every single one. And you guys, I believe, brought this up during your greatest Nintendo games debate, and that is Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
Woof! See, I didn't want to pick Chrono Trigger yet because we're going to review it soon, but hey.
Should I do
Oh, no. I'm not opposed to the Hall of Fame because it is like one of the greatest games ever made. Probably the greatest game ever made.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's just ahead of Final Fantasy VI on the greatest 16-bit role-playing games ever made, for sure. Amazing game.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree with that. Aaron.
I feel like I'm going to steal Tim's thunder.
Steal away, my friend.
Yeah, I'm going to put Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Yeah. We never talked about that game.
Yes, we did. When we did.
Greatest games.
Right.
Yeah, greatest, the top 100 Nintendo games, we did that.
Right, that's when I booted out of first place.
Yes. Yes, you did.
And I'm still waiting to Link death stab you about it.
You know, my feelings on that one, I feel like that's one of the Citizen Kanes of gaming, and one of those games that, again, like Mario 64, was revolutionary, but I'm, you know, I think it definitely deserves its Hall of Fame place just for it being revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know what was the more heated argument, when we were doing the ranking of the best Nintendo consoles and or when we were doing the ranking of the 10 greatest Nintendo games ever made.
I think it'd have to be the greatest Nintendo games.
Yeah, eh?
Just for the fact of how, you know, he switched Pokemon Red for Resident Evil 4.
Yeah. I'd do it again.
You give him the opportunity, he'll do it. He'll do it every time.
That will be rectified at some point in the future.
Ideally, Capcom and Pokemon will make a deal and we'll get, like, Resident Evil Pokemon.
The Pikachu Coming. Files.
Pikachu
files. All right. So, yeah, we haven't talked about enough Zelda games, so I'm, like, held at bay from putting every Zelda game in right now. So we'll have to wait until next year when we do our Legend of Zelda marathon, because it'll be the 30th anniversary of Zelda. But there is another game that we have talked about a lot. So my final choice is not necessarily my favorite game, but we've talked about it a lot on this show. I think it's absolutely brilliant. It's near flawless. It's a fun, challenging game. And I think it just very recently revolutionized the gaming industry. And I am, of course, talking about Yacht Club's Shovel Knight. There's no way that Shovel Knight has not changed gaming forever. Look at all the indies we're playing all the time now. How many indies have we had on the show? Like,
I don't know, but you stole my pick, dude.
Oh, wow, really? You were both going for Shovel Knight. I'm kind of surprised.
You know what? I'm actually surprised you guys are taking Shovel Knight.
Dude, I played Shovel Knight and finished it twice, and now we have Plague Knight. It's one of my favorite games of all time.
Huh.
It's so good. Do you want me to go back and put a different game in?
No, I have a backup. I have a backup.
That's good, because I wasn't going to. No, but this game is great. I think it deserves a place because it changed gaming. People are looking at, like, making games as indie developers totally differently now. I think Yacht Club's awesome. We had someone from Yacht Club on our show, which that was incredible. So go listen to that episode. It was super good.
David D'Angelo, who one of the makers of Shovel Knight, was on our podcast. Like, one of the reasons why we do our Hall of Fame show is to give our listeners an idea of what we've reviewed in the past, because we think it's worth checking out some of our older shows. And we've reviewed and discussed each and every single one of these shows in the first 24 episodes, and we actually had him on the show, and we talked about Shovel Knight, and we talked about, like, The Legend of Zelda and why he hated it. It was a great interview. I loved it. So great pick, Tim. Tim, man, you and I, we're picking the best games today.
Yeah, we're very in sync.
Okay, so I'm going to choose a Mario game, but it's not going to be a platformer. Can you guess what it is?
Sunshine.
Paint.
Mario Kart. It's gotta be.
No, The Legend of Seven Stars.
Oh yeah, sure.
Here's a game we talked about for about 45 minutes on the podcast. I think it's one of the greatest RPG games. I just love this game. I think it's so much fun. you can still play this game on your Wii U and or Wii because it's available on the virtual store, but you have to connect into the Wii. So you can still play it. If you haven't played it, I highly recommend it. It's a great game. Yeah. Legend of Seven Stars Super Mario RPG, which was also released for the Super NES. Once again, the greatest Nintendo console, the greatest video game console of all time.
Absolutely. You know, I your guys' review of that, I had never played that game. It just wasn't something that I ever picked up for whatever reason. And you guys' review really made me want to play Legend of Seven Stars, so I'm definitely going to pick that up at some point.
Oh, yeah, you need to play that game.
Patrick, you know, the thing is you played Earthbound after listening to our review of Earthbound, and you loved
that's
that
right.
game, right?
I did. Okay. I absolutely loved that game. It brought me back to 16-bit role-playing games so well.
This game, I would say, is a lot more fun than Earthbound. Like, I don't think it's as good, and I don't think the story is as unusual, unique, and sort of, like, original. And it doesn't have the same kind of characters, because it's basically characters from the Super Mario universe, which you've seen before.
Yeah.
So it's not quite as special, but it's a ton of fun. Like, I think the main difference between Earthbound and The Legend of Seven Stars is a lot of times when people start playing Earthbound, they get frustrated because there's a lot of grinding. Mm-hmm. And there is to some extent in The Legend of Seven Stars, but as I said in the podcast review, this game, The Legend of Seven Stars, makes grinding fun. Like, it does the impossible, and it makes grinding fun.
And it felt fresh, too, in terms of, like, RPG mechanics. The turn-based system. I thought it was a really fresh take on that, on turn-based.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And it sounds like it's supposed to be pretty funny, too. I know there's lots of little, you know, just nods to Nintendo fans. Isn't Samus in the game?
Yep.
Things like that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that a lot.
All right, so here's our list so far. We got Pac-Man, we got Donkey Kong, we got Super Mario 3, Earthbound, Pokemon Red and Blue, Super Mario Galaxy, Super Mario World, Mega Man X, Mega Man 2, Super Mario 64, Luigi's Mansion, Chrono Trigger, The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, Shovel Knight, and The Legend of Seven Stars.
That's a rad list. That's a good start right there.
Mm-hmm. I know. Now I can't wait to episode 50, though, because I've got so many more games to throw in there.
I know.
Like Pokemon Gold and Silver, Pokemon Diamond and Pearl.
Really? Diamond and Pearl?
Notice I skipped over Ruby and Sapphire, though. Like, me and that game still have beef. I'm just waiting. Like, I'm going to make Ricky play all of the Pokemon games at some point, and it'll be, like, my favorite marathon of all marathons. this guy's never played a single one?
Yeah, I know.
Like, what is that?
Yeah, I know.
You can't host a Nintendo show and have never played Pokemon?
Well, they played Pokemon something. It wasn't a video game, though.
Snap?
No,
Pokemon
it was something like
Puzzle League?
Board game.
Oh, okay.
Board game?
What it was called.
Shuffle, the free one on 3DS.
No, it wasn't electronic. It was like an actual board game.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Awesome. When are we getting into our Pokemon episodes?
You know?
Well, considering Nintendo doesn't have any games coming out. Oh, snap!
There we go. Hey. Rick just bailed himself out. There we go.
And for your news, replacing Star Fox's spot is Mario Tennis.
Okay, guys, so I got a few things to say here. So we have just a bit of time to kill. So I just got to tell you guys a few stories. Okay, first of all, I was on Twitter, and I noticed that Nintendo of America said that Star Fox is actually going to get released in Christmas time. And I was, like, ecstatic and so happy, so I retweeted the damn thing, right? I was talking to Patrick about this. So the next day, I seen Nintendo of America announces that they're going to put The Legend of Zelda on the Sony PS4. And I'm like, what? I'm like, this is bullshit. So it turns out that there's this fake account, and it's called Nintendo of America, but it's spelt with one small difference. I think it's like the E is replaced with like an I, or there's an extra I. I'm not entirely sure, but you have to look closely to realize it's not the original account. But the thing is, I'm not even following this Twitter account. It just keeps popping up in my feed. So I'm thinking whoever runs this Twitter account must be paying Twitter, like advertising. Like, you know what I mean? They must be putting money into advertising for it to keep on popping up in my Twitter feed, because clearly they know I'm a Nintendo fanatic. Mm-hmm. And so I was so upset, because it turns out Star Fox isn't getting released this year, and this is a fake account. So that's story number one. Story number two, I didn't tell the story a few weeks ago. So when I went out to go buy Super Mario Maker, I went early in the morning because I wanted to make sure I got my hands on the amiibo, because there was like Dr. Mario was released. There was like the 8-bit Mario. There was two versions, actually, right? The colored one and the classic one.
That's right,
the the modern one.
Yeah, and the classic one only came with the bundle, right? Isn't that how it went?
No.
No, the modern one only
came with the bundle.
No, not even, guys. One of them was, well, at least here in Canada, one of them was exclusive to Walmart. I think it was the classic. Anyhow, so I went to Toys R Us super early in the morning. I got in. I got all the amiibo. I got Super Mario Maker, except I didn't get the classic 8-bit Mario. The guy at Toys R Us told me it was exclusive to Walmart. So I went over to Walmart. And also, Dr. Mario was exclusive to Walmart. So it was the only two I was missing. So I went over to Walmart, and I'm standing in line, pretty big line. And I swear to God, there was this guy, and he was buying 3 boxes of amiibo. So clearly he was a scalper.
Oh, God.
And I was so pissed off, and everyone in line was pissed off, because you're not supposed to sell more than one per customer. But the manager at Walmart just didn't care. Whereas if you went to Toys R Us or EB Games, which is the equivalent of GameStop here in Canada, it's one per customer. But the asshole at Walmart was selling the scalper 3 boxes of amiibo. So I was so pissed off, and I swear to God, I didn't think I was going to get a classic 8-bit amiibo. Lucky for me, I got it, but I was so mad. So I was walking out, and the scalper had paid just before me. So he was walking out with his friend, and they were carrying 3 big boxes of amiibo. And I wasn't thinking anything like really bad, not like, you know, sort of like, don't think I'm a demon child, like I'm not Damien, but I was sort of like thinking, like, I hope to God something bad happens to this guy, that he's gonna like lose a lot of money or something, because what an ass to be selling like toys, like amiibo, to like people for like outrageous amounts of money, right?
Yeah.
So I go into the parking lot. The guy comes, he pulls out of the parking lot, he's zooming down the parking lot, and he crashes his car, totals the car, completely totals the car. And I was like, good for you, you stupid son of a bitch.
Now all those amiibo are going to pay his car.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, I don't even know if he's going to have any luck selling those amiibo, because none of them are rare. Like Dr. Mario, the 8-bit Mario, you could still find them in stores. And I actually went to EB Games on Friday, and I went at like 7 p.m. at night, because I totally forgot they released the classic 3-pack with Rob, Duck Hunt, and Game & Watch. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's no way they're going to have any more left. And I walked in. It was actually 8 o'clock at night. I walked in, and they had like 30 boxes left.
You know, the weird thing, I was in a GameStop that day, too. That was the same day that Zero Suit Samus and Ganon came out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah. And I had gone in, and the guy told me, I went in just late. I didn't try to get there early or anything like that. I happened to be in the neighborhood. And he said they had plenty left. This was at a GameStop that previously had been sold out of these things. And he said nobody had really come by. So I'm not sure if the craze has died down a little bit or what. We'll see how hard those new hard-to-find ones are.
No, I don't think it's died down. I think Nintendo's just shipping more stock out.
They've been restocking. Here in Washington, there are so many rumors circulating that Toys R Us is about to get a new shipment of some of the exclusives. And so, like, people like me and my friend are, like, continually calling around, like, hey, do you have Greninja yet? Do you have Lucario? Like, where are these guys at?
Well, here in Canada, we did get it. Toys R Us received, what was it, King DD?
Yeah.
Greninja, Little Mac. I know Little Mac wasn't exclusive, but there's a bunch of Little Macs, the Villager, like, you name it. But the thing is, there's a difference. If you look at the packaging, some of the amiibo are slightly different in terms of the way they look as compared to the original one released. Like, for example, Ike. Yeah. But also the packaging is slightly different. Like, it has a different number, or says, like, round 2 or shipment number 2 or wave whatever. Like, it's like, so what I'm trying to say here is, like, if you have the original, like, Mac that was released way back, wave 2, like, the original shipment, if someone's a diehard Nintendo fan, it's still worth money, because this is sort of like the
it's like a second edition book. It's not.
It's like a second print or third print. Yeah. I don't care, because I opened them anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. I see. I've seen the pictures of your enormous collection.
Yep. Thus ends N Express for this week, the Amiibo show on poppodcast.com. Why don't we go ahead and see where we can find everyone online. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us yet again.
Yeah, absolutely. You can obviously find me writing in the video game section on popoptic.com. And you can find me on my on Twitter at @PS_porcupine.
Nice. How about you, Aaron?
You could find me on Twitter at @TheCharmless6, and you could also find me at the FTW Gaming Podcast.
Nice. Ricky D.
You can find me over at popoptic.com, POPOPTIQ, popoptic.com, on Twitter, popoptic. Like us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. Thank you to everyone who's liked our Facebook page so far. You can follow us on Tumblr. I also do co-host a movie podcast called Sorted Cinema. We talk about genre film, horror films, exploitation films, martial arts movies, you know, the fun stuff. And I do a Walking Dead podcast. It's coming back very soon. It's very popular. We have a different guest each and every single week. The biggest critics from around the nation. Check it out over at popoptic.com.
And I am Tim Mason. You can find me in the game section of popoptic.com. You can also find me on Twitter at @TheFreeMason, M-A-I-S-O-N. And I also host another podcast all about Destiny. So if you're into the Taken King or you want to know about it, go check that out. This podcast came from the moon, also on popoptic.com. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you enjoyed our 25th episode special and our Mario Marathon. Stick around for the next couple of episodes. We'll be getting some other great marathons, including Pokemon and Zelda, all the good stuff. In the meantime, you all stay classy.
But as long as there are new games to play, old games to master, a princess to rescue, a world to save, the video game craze will be more than a fad. It will be an adventure.
Chance of handling your new 12-inch long playing records, and I would like to see you again in your office early next week.